Manglefoot Productions, in association with Sun Sounds of Arizona, presents A Brick for St. Nick, written and directed by M.V. Moorhead, produced by Roy Weinberg.
Spirits.
Spirit?
Spirits, plural, as in making spirits bright?
That's what you're going with. No way, the tempo was nowhere near that fast. I'm going to go with bobtails.
Bobtails? Okay, well, we'll know in 3, 2, 1.
Are you kidding me?
Aced it!
I don't think that should count. It was actually the end of the word before.
Come on, you know the rule. The first full word.
I don't remember that rule.
The first full word. You made that rule up, Santa Claus.
I hate you, Mrs. Claus.
Absolutely aced it.
How can you do that every last time we go through a tunnel?
Pure skill, that's how. I should have bet you for something good.
Oh, why bother betting? You get anything you want from me just by asking.
On that note, turn off the radio.
With pleasure. I'm so sick of this music.
That's not why I told you to turn it off.
I know.
The time has come, Santa.
No.
You said when we got through the Fort Pitt Tunnel, you'd tell me why we drove all the way from Erie to Pittsburgh on a rainy Christmas Eve.
Do you at least believe now that I'm not coming down here to give some other woman her Christmas present?
I guess. So now I'm worried it's something way worse than that. Why couldn't you tell me sooner?
Well, I figured if I waited that long, it'd give you less time to try to talk me out of it.
This really doesn't sound good.
It isn't that good. That's why I wish you'd stayed home.
Fat chance of that. Seriously, what's going on?
Old business.
Quit being mysterious and quit playing for time.
Sorry, I'm just not sure where to start.
Okay, how about why we're in costume? I take it this isn't just another stupid Santa gig you couldn't say no to. So why am I in Mrs. Claus drag, and why are you Santa from the neck down?
Great way to conceal the identity. Don't you remember the guy who robbed a bank a few years ago down in Florida, I think it was, dressed as Santa Claus?
Yeah, and considering our finances right now, if you were planning to rob a bank, I wouldn't dismiss the idea out of hand. But the banks are closed, so what's going on?
Okay, look. Like I said, this is old business. It's going to require a flashback.
To when?
30-some years. Christmas 1984, my senior year in college.
You sure this doesn't have to do with a woman?
This part does, actually. You remember me telling you about a girl I dated back then named Yvonne?
Aw, man. Yes, many freaking times you've made a point of mentioning sexy Yvonne. But I thought you never really got anywhere with her. I thought she was the one who got away.
And so she was. To my infinite good fortune, as just a year and a half later, I met you, Mrs. Claus.
Yeah. So is Yvonne who we're going to go see?
Not at all. According to Facebook, Yvonne now lives in Boulder, Colorado.
Interesting you know that, but go on.
One day, a few weeks before Christmas, back in 84, Yvonne and I were walking through the Kaufman's at Mill Creek Mall on our way to a movie, and she spotted...
Oh my God, have you ever seen anything this hot?
And I had to admit, I hadn't. A waist-length fur coat.
Fur? Real fur?
Yep.
Yuck! What kind?
Silver fox.
Yuck.
It was tacky, quite candidly. It made her look like a high-class... well, you know... which, I must tell you, is exactly what she wanted to look like.
And also what you wanted her to look like.
Possibly so. Anyway, she made a terrible fuss over it. She looked at the price tag and just about burst into tears.
How much was it?
$395. On sale.
You mean to tell me you bought it for her?
Not an option. I was working as a doorman at the Strand in those days. I didn't have a cent to my name. I could barely buy her popcorn at the movies. But I was sure, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I was sure that if I only could raise the cash to buy that coat, I would instantly and permanently win her heart, among other things.
Poor little foxes. How many of them have perished over the centuries, all for the sake of men chasing women?
Well, this one didn't anyway, as it turned out. At least not for the sake of me chasing a woman. And therein lies the tale. Because back in those days before you knew me, while my round little belly that shakes when I laugh like a bowl full of jelly wasn't quite as round and shaky as it is now, alas, it was round enough. And I had the same pink apple cheeks and twinkling eyes full of mischievous merriment, which you understandably fell in love with. And in short, I had all the makings of a good Santa Claus even then.
Okay.
So, a week or so later, on the last day of classes before Christmas break, a guy named Tristan Davies, a rich kid from Sewickley that I knew very slightly from a couple of my classes, came up to me.
Hey, sport. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Tristan, right?
That's right. So, are you ready for the holidays, sport?
I suppose so. Ready as I'll ever be.
We'll just see about that. Could you use a few bucks?
Sure. Always.
Who couldn't, right? Let me ask you, are you busy Christmas Eve Eve?
Christmas Eve Eve.
You know, the 23rd. The night before.
All right. I don't know. Why?
Well, here's the thing, sport. My father is throwing his office Christmas party that night down the burg. I've been given a very simple task, to provide a Santa Claus for the festivities.
Santa Claus?
That's right. And I'll tell you, honestly, I just can't find one. I've called around town, and all the good professional Santas down there are busy that evening at the stores and malls. I've rented a suit up here, but I have no one to wear it.
You can't wear it yourself? You know, stuff a pillow in your belly?
Are you kidding? I can just imagine what dear Dad would have to say about that. No, I need a real professional performer to show up and hand out presents and maybe let a couple of dear Dad's co-workers' kids sit on his lap. Anyway, I know you're a theater major and, well, no offense, but...
I look like Santa Claus?
No offense, sport, but... You look like you just rode down from the North Pole. So how about it? Want to do Christmas Eve Eve down the burg?
I don't know, man. All the way down there, my car isn't so hot.
Name your price.
So I just blurted it out. $500.
And he said yes?
Without a moment's hesitation. Made me wish I'd doubled it.
Still, there was your silver fox coat for Yvonne.
Exactly. With a few bucks left over, or so I thought.
And this is how you got started as Santa Claus.
These are the roots of my illustrious career. Of course, I didn't really find my stride until a year and a half later when I came across a stunningly glamorous Mrs. Claus.
Okay, so what? The rich kid stiffed you?
Not at all. The rich kid was even better than his word. The gig went smoothly. It was at the University Club in Oakland, and it was just like he described.
I want a Castle Grayskull.
Well, Davy, be a good kid, and Santa doesn't see why not.
I want a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Well, Susie, a lot of kids want those this year, so be sure your name doesn't show up on the naughty list, and we'll see what we can do.
Santa, all I want for Christmas is for the Steelers to beat the Broncos next week and go on to win the Super Bowl.
Well, Billy, Santa will see if he can sprinkle some magic elf dust on Mr. Malone's arm.
Wait a minute. You promised a kid a Cabbage Patch Kid in 1984?
That kid's mom told me they'd already gotten it. You forget, these were Sewickley people.
Well, did the Steelers beat the Broncos?
Yeah, but they didn't win the Super Bowl. Even Santa's not omnipotent.
Still, even then, you knew how to give a kid the old non-committal conditional positive-sounding answer.
What can I say? I was a Santa Claus prodigy. So as soon as the party wound down...
Excellent, sport. Most excellent. I'll tell you honestly, that was some world-class Kris Kringling. Dear Dad is very impressed. Wants you back next year. Here you go.
And he handed me an envelope with $600, if you please.
Nice tip.
The fox coat's in the bag.
Which means Yvonne's in the bag.
So I thought. A jollier Santa you never saw. I'm thinking, if I make good enough time on the 79, I might even get home in time to see her that very night. So I drive away from the party, I pull into a gas station, I fill up, and then...
I see where this is going.
Come on. Oh, come on. No, don't do this to me, please, not now. Come on.
So you weren't kidding when you said your car wasn't so hot.
76 Chevy Nova. Except no substitutes. And I was, then as now, utterly without a clue where cars were concerned. I'll spare you the invective that came pouring from my mouth, but apparently they could hear it inside the garage, because as I'm standing there futilely staring down at the engine, up comes...
Having some trouble there, Santa Claus.
I'll never forget the name. Pete Strecker.
I have a feeling we've arrived at the villain of the story.
You would be right. So, Mr. Strecker has me try the ignition a few times, while he tinkers knowingly with my engine for a few minutes, and then he says...
Well, you've got a messed up timing chain.
A timing chain? What does that do?
The timing chain. This is chaining your engine when you controls your timing. Yeah, your engine timing. If your engine timing is messed up, it can mess up the whole engine. The timing chain, see, yeah, that's the thing that controls your timing. And yours is messed up.
Is that something you can replace?
Well, no. We're closing up right now, but I could do it first thing in the morning.
You get that the guy read you on the spot for an idiot that he could skin, right?
Of course.
I have to ask, wouldn't the rich kid have helped?
He probably would have, and please don't imagine that I had too much working class pride to ask him to, but I didn't have his phone number. I tried calling the university club from a payphone, but of course they couldn't help me because everybody went home after the party. So what could I do? I watch Pete Strecker and his sons push my car into the garage, and I go over to the Avalon Motel across the street, get a room, and spend the night there. And the next morning, Christmas Eve, after I check out and have breakfast at the Contiki restaurant, I go back over to the garage, and it's nearly lunchtime, and they haven't started work on the car yet. So, I sit in the grubby, freezing cold waiting room for hours, thinking about the Silver Fox at Kaufman's, wondering if it's still there, and all the while I'm looking at the wall over Pete Strecker's desk, where he has a big picture of Saint Nick.
He had a picture of Santa Claus over his desk?
No. Saint Nick. One of those big garish chromos of the actual Saint Nicholas. Nicholas of Myra, 3rd century Turkish bishop, the tales of whose legendary generosity blended over the centuries with certain figures from European folklore to become the beloved consumerist chill we call Santa Claus, who I have gained such fame and fortune by incarnating. Pete Strecker's gaudy portrait of good Saint Nick stared at me all afternoon while I sat there feeling my Silver Fox coat, and thus Yvonne, slipping away from me. Until finally, at about 4 o'clock...
Okay, Santa, your car's ready to go.
The timing chain is fixed?
The timing chain's fixed. We found a couple of other things that were messed up, so we took care of them, too.
And he handed me the invoice.
So, how much?
$395.
No way!
That's right. Exactly the price of the Silver Fox.
Serves you right.
I know it does, but that doesn't excuse him. So, between the bill for the repairs and the Avalon Motel and Contiki restaurant...
How much did you get home with?
$58. But most of that went to the costume rental place because I got grease on the cuffs of the Santa coat when I looked under the hood.
It didn't occur to you to take off the Santa coat?
In the heat of the moment, I'm afraid it didn't. Not that it would have made any difference anyway, as Kaufman's was long closed by the time I finally got home.
So what about poor Yvonne?
I gave her a lovely box of Ceres chocolates from the lobby of the Avalon.
Oh my God, these look delicious. Thank you, sweetie. You always know the perfect thing for me. You're such a good friend. So anyway, I have some news. You'll think this is funny. You know that guy Doug that I was seeing this summer? Well, night before last, when I was home alone, he called to wish me a Merry Christmas and to tell me how sorry he was about how he treated me. And it's crazy, but we talked for hours, and I really think he's grown a lot since the summer. And anyway, I know it's crazy, but he asked me to move in with him.
And that's who she's living with in Boulder, Colorado to this day. According to Facebook, the youngest of their 3 kids just graduated from college.
That's nice.
Oh, but that's not the end of the story. A day or two after Christmas, I showed the car to my cousin Dee, who, as you know, is a pretty good shade tree mechanic, and she said...
Yeah, he put in a new timing chain, all right, and also new battery cables and spark plugs. Yeah, I've seen this car in October, and you didn't need none of that stuff then. But you got a cracked fan belt. Somehow you missed that.
Okay, I get the point. Bummer trip, jerk mechanic. None of that quite explains why we're here tonight.
It doesn't? I would think it's very clear. We're here for revenge.
Oh my God, you're here to kill the garage guy?
Kill him? Who do you think you're married to, Mrs. Claus? But I admit... I did brood about this con man shafting me for quite a while, I'd especially think about it at Christmas time. I kept thinking I should be the bigger man, get over it, chalk it up to experience, all that. But then I'd keep seeing Pete Strecker's picture of St. Nicholas staring at me with all the piety and integrity and generosity it implied. It was like he was exploiting St. Nick, making him a shill for his business.
Hardly the first time somebody's done that.
True enough. Who am I to talk, right? But it still nagged at me. Anyway, a few years later, I told my Uncle Fritz the whole story after Christmas dinner, and he said,
"Tell you what you do. Some year, if you get a chance, you drive by, you throw a brick through the SOB's window. It's no big deal, but it'll be a pain in the ass for him to fix it, and it'll cost him a few bucks, like he cost you a few bucks, and he won't know it's you, but he'll know it's, you know, another satisfied customer."
Fritz, that would be his advice, all right.
Look in the back seat.
What is that?
You got gloves on, right? Yeah, pick it up.
A brick with a St. Nicholas holy card glued to it.
Turn it over.
Merry Christmas from another satisfied customer.
What do you think?
I think I didn't realize that I was actually married to an insane person.
You didn't? Wow. Well, guess what, Mrs. Santa? If MapQuest is to be trusted, Strecker Automotive is right around this corner, right where it was 30 years ago. So put on your wig and your bonnet, and I'll put on the hat and the beard.
You really think I'm going to let you go through with this?
Hey, I begged you to stay home. You insisted on coming.
Yeah, in case you were going to do something stupid.
Well, this isn't stupid. This is for good St. Nick. Now switch places with me. You're the wheelman.
Anybody's in the place. Any lights on? I keep driving.
There won't be. He'll be at home counting the money he gouged out of clods like me.
You understand that this guy is probably long retired, don't you? He may very well be dead. His sons probably run the place now.
Sins of the father, right? Now roll.
Oh man, there it is. Strecker Automotive.
The windows are dark. Pull over. Here goes.
Do it! If you're gonna do it, do it!
I will.
What are you waiting for?
I'm not sure. All of a sudden, it seems sort of petty. He kept me from spending too much on an extravagant gift, a clumsy attempt to buy the affections of a woman who was wrong for me. And who knows, maybe he really needed the money. And anyway, it was 30 years...
Give me the stupid brick!
What? Hey, wait! Don't!
This is for St. Nick! Let's go!
So, you're married to an insane person?
I'm married to a person who would drive all the way down here, tell me that whole story, and then not throw the brick that he'd custom made for the occasion? Yeah, that does seem kind of insane.
It just didn't seem like what St. Nick would do.
Yeah, well, I'm very proud of you for realizing that. But Mrs. Claus is no saint, and she doesn't like the idea of somebody ripping off a 22-year-old she hadn't met yet.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Claus.
Merry Christmas. Now turn on the radio. We'll be back at the Fort Pitt Tunnel before you know it.
This has been A Brick for St. Nick, written and directed by M.V. Moorhead, produced by Roy Weinberg. Executive producer, Andrea Pasquale. Associate producers, Richard M. Roberts and David Miller. Music supervisor, Roy Weinberg. In the cast were Susan St. John, M.V. Moorhead, Gail Bass, Daryl Ponish, Julie Peterson, Sophie Stern, Richard M. Roberts, and David Goffstein. A Manglefoot production in association with Sun Sounds of Arizona.